Good morning. I kind of thought with the way Oklahoma played yesterday, we would have more here. Well, give it time. That joke will get better. It is good to see you all out this morning, and we welcome those that are joining us on Facebook. We hope you know that you are very much valued in the service to the Lord. We've been talking this month about the hours of the week, and this last year and a half has sort of felt like, for me, the longest week ever. I've spent sort of years, I think everybody does, developing a workflow. I think we all do that. No matter what you do, you sort of know what you do on Sunday. You know what you do on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and so forth. But with all of this last year and a half, things have been different. Things have been a lot different. Everything became weird, and all the old workflows started to mean nothing. The entire week was out the window. And so for this series, this is just sort of re-examining our 168 hours that we get in a week and asking how we spend those hours. The last few weeks, we've talked about that, those 168 hours, that we get a new set every week, that they are a gift from God. Then we get to decide how we're going to spend those 168 hours. We talked about worship and how worship needs to be part of our 168 hours. Not just the hour that we spend here, but throughout the entire week, making time to sing and to reflect and to pray. We talked about how worship shapes the way we relate to God, obviously, but also how we relate to the world and how we relate to creation and to each other and to ourselves. And then last week we talked about how we spend so many of the hours in our week working, and how that's not necessarily a bad thing, that it's a good thing, that your work in the Lord really matters. But today I want to talk about the fact that we can't spend all 168 hours doing. Some of those hours need to be spent resting from what's already been done. Some of those hours need to be spent resting in what has already been done, in enjoying what has already been done. So we get to talk about rest this morning, and we think, well, I do that pretty good. That'll be a fun subject. But do you really? Because I don't think I really rest well. I know you look at me and you think that's a guy who rests well, but I don't think I do. In fact, for me, and maybe for many of you, that this subject is harder than working. For some of us, I think we work better than we rest. Some of us, the idea of resting well, resting in the way that God teaches us to rest, is harder than working the way that God teaches us to work. I read a story of a photographer who goes around to the different schools to take pictures of the kids. And each one, he would try to set their minds at ease, and he would ask them a question. And so he asked one little girl, he said, "What are you going to be when you grow up?" And she said, "Tired." Is that the impression that we give kids? This is what adulthood is. It's being tired. It's being exhausted from one moment to the next. Is that the impression that we give kids of adulthood? That we're all just tired all the time. I read a statistic, and I know 95% of statistics are made up on the spot, but I read a statistic that said only 14% of adult Americans set aside a day a week for rest. And sadly, even when we're not working, we stop working. Even when we stop doing something externally, we're usually busy doing something internally. We're thinking about what needs to be done. It's like watching those guys who can spin plates, like an act of spinning plates. They have plates on a pole over here and over there and over there, and they run around and they just keep all those plates spinning. And a lot of times that's how I feel about life. Like we're all just trying to keep the plates spinning. And even when we're sitting still externally, on the inside, we're still thinking about all those plates that need to be spun. And then somehow I think that we've convinced ourselves just by thinking about it, that we're keeping those plates spinning. If I can worry enough about it, or if I can think enough about it, if I can talk enough about it, I can solve these problems in my head, then everything will be okay. And we're just exhausted because we're thinking about so much and everything that needs to be done, convincing ourselves that it's us that is keeping the world spinning, and that it's us by doing or by thinking about doing or by worrying about it that we are keeping everything from falling apart. And then we have these things that are in our pockets, or maybe they're on your lap. We have our phones that even when we are not doing something, these things are telling us that it's time to do something again. Here's something you need to do. Get up. Go to bed. It's time for you to think about this. It's time to buy this. It's time to be angry about this thing. And they tell us when to get up and what to do and what to buy and where to go and what to be mad about today. And we spend so much time going and doing and thinking about going and doing. Here's another statistic. Only 12% of adult Americans say they intentionally set aside time a day when they don't use electronic devices. I'm probably in that 88%. How about you? Is there any time you are actually resting? Where you're not spending mental energy or physical energy or saying or thinking that this needs to be done, and if I stop just for a minute, something might fall apart and all of the plates will come crashing to the ground. Is there even a moment in your day, let alone the entire day, where you say this is a day of not doing, where you set aside hours for resting in what has already been done? We said last week as we talked about work, that the creation week is a work week, that I'm convinced, and I'm sure all of you are too, that God could have created the earth in as little or as much time as he wanted, but he chose to lay it out in a week, and so we model our week after him because we are supposed to model him. We are supposed to reflect him, and so our 168 hours is supposed to reflect the one who we are created after. After God spent 6 days creating and organizing and separating light from darkness and day from night and plants from animals and land from water, he then spent 6 days doing. He spent then a whole day resting in what had already been done. Resting in what had already been done for that. And you all know that I've been working on my Hebrew. And there's a Hebrew word for this. And I got this one. It is Sabbath. He spent the entire day Sabbathing. He spent the day resting in what has already been done, ceasing from his work. So we're going to look at what Wes read, Genesis chapter 2, 1, and we're going to skip around more than we typically do on Sunday mornings, but we're going to look at a few things. It says that, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So long before Moses gave the Ten Commandments or the law to the people, rest was woven, what was worked into the fabric of creation. It was part of the rhythm of the week, what was part of the DNA of human beings that we need to stop doing in rest. In what had already been done. God took the seventh day that we call Saturday. He took the seventh day and he made it holy. Holy means different, unusual, not the same as every day. Every day is good for doing, and it's good to be doing. It's good to be doing things with and for God, but there needs to be a time that is not for doing. It's for resting in what has already been done. When I think about the Sabbath or rest, some of the words that come to mind are complete and accomplished and whole and satisfied. Enough. Isn't that what Genesis 2, 1 through 3 reflect? God was done, and the week needs an ending point. Otherwise, it just keeps going on indefinitely, and we've convinced ourselves in some ways that is the reality. We've convinced ourselves that there's always something that needs to be done. And there can be, there always can be, but there also can be a point when you say, enough. Yes, there is more that can be done, but not anymore. Today is going to be a day of rest. Today, or for this time period, I'm going to reflect, rest. And I'm going to reflect into the world what God has reflected into the world. If God can say enough, if God can say it's finished, it's done, enough for this week, we'll do more later, but right now it's finished. If God can do that, do we ever get to that point? Do we ever put the phone or the TV away and say, I've sent enough emails for today, or I've sent enough texts today. I've done enough. Now is the time to rest in what has already been done. If we turn over to Exodus chapter 20, it becomes part of the law that God gives to Moses to give to the people of Israel. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. God made it holy, but God's people were supposed to keep it holy. And what's the opposite of keeping something holy? You defile it. And how do you defile something that is holy? By treating it as ordinary. I always think, and I use this a lot, I think about Sunday clothes when you were a kid. They weren't your play clothes. They weren't your work clothes. They were your church clothes. And you get in trouble if you played in those clothes in the mud, right? They were sanctified clothes. They were set apart for a special purpose. And the Sabbath day was set apart for a special purpose. Not to do, but to rest in what had already been done. They were to keep it holy. Verse 9 says, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord has made the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. In fact, if you were to look at the entire Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, you would see that there's more real estate given to this commandment than the other nine. Why? Is it because it's special? Well, yeah, I think it's special, but I also think because it's hard. It's hard to rest well. It's hard to say, I'm going to stop. I'm going to rest in what has already been done. We have this drive in us, and I think part of it's good to do more and to achieve more and to have more and to be more, but rest says enough. And if you're constantly driven and are living under, then you're living under the false impression about who you are and whose you are and what you were supposed to be accomplishing. You cannot be who God created you to be if you're always being driven to have more and to be more and to do more. Sometimes you have to rest in what has already been done. You have to trust that you aren't the one keeping the plate spinning in the first place. And do you really think that? Do you really think you're the one keeping the plate spinning? Because sometimes I do. I've convinced myself that's why even when I stop and I try to rest, I feel guilty. And I start thinking about what's falling apart when I'm just sitting here. And I think God tells us nothing. Just stop. Trust me enough to rest. Some of the rabbis in Jesus' day and before, and probably to this day, apparently they believed that if there was ever a time, if there was ever a Sabbath day when all the people of Israel kept this commandment, if there was ever a day when all of the people finally, totally, and completely rested, a perfect Sabbath day, then the Messiah would come. That's one of the reasons why they were so dogmatic about making sure nobody was doing work on the Sabbath, because they believed if we all just stopped, that the Messiah would come. But we know better than that, don't we? We know that it wasn't man's perfect Sabbath keeping that brought the Messiah. It was the Messiah's perfect work that finally gave us the perfect Sabbath. So in eschatological sense, in a big picture sense, Jesus has brought the ultimate Sabbath. That's why it's no longer a command. That's why it's no longer a law. We are no longer under the law of Moses, because we have entered into that perfect Sabbath already. And our whole life is a Sabbath resting in what Jesus has already done on our behalf. We've already entered into that rest in the big picture sense. But there's also another sense where it says that it's still really wise, really practical to say, you know what, it's not my law. I'm not under the law of Moses. I've entered into the perfect Sabbath rest of Jesus, but I still need to devote some of my 168 hours to just breathing and just being and just resting in what has already been done. Mark 2:27, here Jesus is being criticized for the fact that he and his apostles were walking through a field and they were picking grain and eating it as they walked. And the people were like, "Ha, you're harvesting on the Sabbath." And Jesus says this. He says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Rest is a gift. It's a gift, and somehow they turned the idea into that they were supposed to serve the Sabbath. And Jesus says, no, you're not supposed to serve the Sabbath. The Sabbath is supposed to serve you. This was a gift from God, and when we set aside a day in our week or an hour in our day in our 168 hours to say, I will spend this time not doing, but resting in what has already been done, then we are accepting a gift from God and saying, I trust you. We're receiving that. What kind of person? You know what it's like to give someone a gift and they say, ugh, well, I don't like that. What kind of ungrateful person are you? You don't say that about a gift someone gives you. You appreciate it. You enjoy it. You receive it. And when it comes to rest, look at how we treat it. I don't have time for that. I'm too busy for rest. Stop. This is a gift from God, and accepting it means you trust him. Thinking about this makes me think of Psalms 127, verses 1 and 2. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Do you really think by your own power and strength you built that? Do you really think by your own power and strength you're the one keeping the plate spinning? Do you really think that? Because again, sometimes I do. Don't you feel that way? Don't you convince yourself that we're the only ones pushing the boulder up the hill? That we're the only ones keeping the world spinning? We're the only ones doing all these things? And the psalmist says, no. Unless the Lord is working with you, you're just wasting your time. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. Eating the bread of anxious toil. How many of us have ate that? Man, I go to Golden Corral and eat all you can eat of the bread of anxious toil at times. I got to keep going. I got to keep doing. I got to have more. I got to be more. And don't you know that if I ever sat down and I stopped worrying or I stopped thinking that the whole world is going to fall apart? We see that, don't we? Right now, in our tension-filled, anxious-filled world, we actually think that by us worrying about things, that things are going to change. I'm worried about this. You should be worried about this too. I've got to worry about this. What's going to happen with this or that? Do you? What are you fixing by worrying all the time? What are you fixing by doing all the time? What are you fixing by striving all the time? Don't we know that rest is a gift from God? That says, I've got this. And even when you're working, and even when you are doing, it's me that's working with you and beside you and for you. If you're working on your own, it's all in vain anyway. And so he says, and I love this. He says, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Sleep. It's a gift God gives us. When we are working, when we are not accomplishing anything on our own, it's only by the power and strength that God gives us that when we rest, we admit that. That we are admitting there is a God and I am not him. And I'm not God, but there is one, and he loves me and he gives me sleep and he gives me rest. And I'm not saying this because it's easy. I think it's incredibly difficult. I say this because I imagine I'm not the only one. I think there are a lot of us that are eating the bread of anxious toil, and we have to learn to stop. We have to learn to push away from the table and say enough. My work is important. My doing is important. My going is important. My wanting is important. All of the things I want to achieve, they are important. But there comes even a point where God said to take a day of rest, and he expects us to do the same. Work is not the opposite of rest. These two things are not at odds with each other. That's what we've been trying to say this whole series, that worship and work and rest, they're all partners in a balanced week. Work and rest are not at odds with each other. What's at odds with rest are things like worrying and impatience and greed and pride. Rest is a rejection of those things. Rest is a rejection of pride, a rejection of greed, of worrying, to say, I trust my Father. We rest because we trust. We trust that with God, what has already been done is enough. Isn't that good? Sometimes we need to just say that. It's been a busy week, and yes, there's more that could be done, but this isn't the time to do it. This is the time to rest in what has already been done. Sometimes we have to say, I've had enough. And I know the world says you never have enough. Turn on your TV or your social media. That's at odds with the Sabbath. It's at odds with rest. That's why if you're going to really rest, you have to turn off commercials, because commercials are designed to make you anxious. They're designed to tell you that you don't have enough and you need to have more. You think your life is broken, you just need to have our product. You don't need it. Sometimes you just need to say, enough. I am enough. I've done enough. And yes, next week there's going to be more to do, but right now I'm going to rest in what has already been done. That's what baptism is. Baptism is a resting in and entering into the Sabbath rest, the eternal Sabbath rest of Jesus, to say, I trust in what has already been done. And then we need to work that and weave that into our week as well, where we spend time without our phones or our TVs, and we stop doing and we rest in what has already been done. I think as we finish up, all of us struggle with this, and we need to encourage one another and help each other. We're going to sing a song in just a few seconds, and while we're singing that, we're going to dismiss. But this is an invitation to let us pray with you and for you. Let us help you. If you're ready to be baptized into Jesus or whatever your need might be. But as we go from here today, let's all respond to the invitation. Because every week you have an invitation from God to work, yes. To worship, yes. And to rest in what has already been done. So if we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and we sing.